Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, Matthew chapter 27. Tonight, in our evening service, we begin a series of messages through Romans 12. One chapter in the book of Romans, Romans 12. We're going to start with how to know the will of God tonight, kind of introduce the subject. So I encourage you to be here and bring your Bible. You might want to read Romans 12 this afternoon in preparation. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, verse 50 said, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Verse 51 tells us that at the moment that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Earthquakes are mentioned at least 20 times in the Bible. Jesus told us that during this church age there would be earthquakes, and like birth pangs increasingly, as the end of the age comes, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, various places. All these, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Well, the most recent big earthquake was the one in Japan on March 11th. It was 8.9 on the Richter scale, which is very large for an earthquake. Then came the tsunami, in some places 24 feet or higher wave. The destruction of the nuclear plant that we've all heard about. Thousands have died. Thousands are missing. Hundreds of thousands of people are in shelters in Japan this very day. It was Japan's worst crisis since World War II. It will take at least 5 years to rebuild the coastline and will cost over $200 billion. Earthquakes have been common since Noah's flood, at least. The largest one ever recorded in America, United States, was on Prince William Sound, Alaska, 9.2 on the Richter scale. 1964 was the date for that one. Of course, previously to about the 1800s, there was no records, very few records kept of the earthquakes. The Richter scale had not been invented. But the largest one recorded in the world since then was in 1960 in Chile, 9.5. Earthquake last year in Haiti killed over 200,000 people. The earthquake in China in 1976 killed over 400,000 people. The worst earthquake ever recorded as far as number of casualties, people dying, was in 1556 in China. 850,000 people died in one earthquake in the 1500s. Of course, earthquakes... Let's have a little lesson here today. Earthquakes are caused by the tectonic plates that all of us live on today. Our Earth's mantle is shifting. And these plates are moving slowly past each other or under each other or over each other or apart from one another. And where these plates come together, that's called a fault. We live on an Earth that's shifting all the time. And along the fault lines, the earth is very strained and stressed, pressure. And when the earth finally shifts and those plates move towards away from each other or by each other, then there's release of all of that energy and an earthquake happens. Actually, worldwide, there are hundreds, perhaps even thousands of earthquakes taking place every day, but most of them are so small they can hardly be picked up. The worst earthquakes, of course, happen along those fault lines, and along those fault lines are where most of volcanoes of the world are as well. This is the way that the earth releases all that pressure and heat that's under our feet today. We do not live on a stable planet. We live on a troubled earth, both in our personal lives and the planet we live on. The Bible speaks of a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more curse, and we're not there yet. We live on a very cursed earth. Number one today, earthquakes and the gospel. Earthquakes and the gospel. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is how Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again. For our sins, Christ paid the price. Here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, we read how when Jesus died, an earthquake took place. Earthquakes are a way of whenever there's an earthquake, our attention is drawn towards that place, whether it's Japan or India or China. Last year it was Haiti. Might be Alaska. Folks that live in California experience earthquakes quite often. And so our attention is drawn to wherever the earthquake is taking place. And God is saying, when his son dies on Mount Calvary for our sins, pay attention. He's drawing our attention to the cross. He's drawing our attention to Jesus. He's drawing our attention to what Jesus did there when he died for our sins. Mark down this place, this time. God is saying. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ spent approximately 6 hours, and just before he dies, he says, "It is finished." In the Greek language, tetelestai, paid in full. And then he prayed, "Father, in thy hands, I commend my spirit," bowed his head, and died. At the moment he died, there was an earthquake. The Bible says that the rocks rent. The very rocks themselves in that area split as Christ died for our sins. The rocks were not the only thing that split. Down at the temple at the other end of town, the veil of the temple was rent, the Bible says, in two from top to bottom, as if God were opening up the holy place to the holiest of all and inviting everybody to come in by the blood of Jesus. And even in his death, there was victory, for the Bible records here that some of the graves were open and some of the believers who had previously died rose again. There was a Roman soldier who was standing there when the earthquake took place and when Jesus died, and he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Now, if you look in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 28, the 28th chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ has died. A Roman soldier pierced his side and drained actually the blood from his body. The Lord Jesus Christ is wrapped and placed in a tomb. And we come to the Sabbath day, the end of the Sabbath, Sunday morning, sunrise. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." God not only draws our attention to the place where Jesus died, but now he draws our attention to a garden tomb, an empty garden tomb, by the way. as the Sabbath ends and the sunrise on Sunday morning, there is an earthquake at the Garden Tomb. A great earthquake, the Bible says. As an angel comes and rolls back the stone away from the tomb. And the angel just sits down on top of the stone. Now, it's not to let Jesus out, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already risen, and he's gone. And he can go through matter, he can go through walls, he has no problem getting out of the tomb in his new resurrection body. The angel has opened up the tomb at the time of that great earthquake, not to let Jesus out, but to let people in, so that they can look inside and see that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And the angel says to people coming to find a dead Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. This is a tomb. He is alive. He is risen, just like he said he would. The Lord Jesus Christ has not only died for our sins now, but he has risen again and gotten the victory over death and hell and the grave. And by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too, when we die, can have victory through him and rise again in new resurrection bodies. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. These are gospel earthquakes. These are earthquakes that happened when Jesus died and when he rose again to draw our attention to the gospel, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the way we're saved. Let's look at another earthquake. It's what I call the earthquake at Philippi, a city. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. And Acts 16, 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We could read on. We'll stop there. Paul and Silas are missionaries. They have gone to the city of Philippi to establish a New Testament church. So far, Lydia has been saved, a seller of purple. A demon-possessed girl has been delivered. And because of this change in people's lives, Paul and Silas are beaten and put in prison. And the keeper of the prison is making sure they do not escape. If a Roman soldier let prisoners escape from a Roman prison, the penalty was death. So he is making sure they're not going to escape. And he has Paul and Silas locked in stocks. They can't move their arms or legs. And it's midnight. And Paul and Silas are praising God in the middle of the darkest night, they are singing praises to God. And the prisoners nearby, down the hallways, can hear Paul and Silas singing. And in the middle of the night, there is this great earthquake, the Bible says, and everything is shaken. And the prison doors fly open, and making it possible for prisoners to escape. And the jailer, realizing if prisoners escape, he's dead anyway, so he begins to take out his sword. He's going to commit suicide. And Paul and Silas say, don't do that. We are all here. We've all stayed around. You do not need to do that. And at this point, the jailer asks a big question. I do not believe the question has to do with how to be saved from the earthquake. That's done and over. But the question is this: what must I do to be saved? I believe Paul and Silas had talked to this man about being saved, perhaps earlier in the evening, maybe when the guard had beaten them, or maybe when he had put them in the stocks. They had talked to him about this matter. Saved from hell, saved from judgment. What must I do to be saved? Now, the interesting thing is, this man previously had not put his faith in Christ. Maybe he had never even heard of Jesus before this evening. We don't know, but what happened here was a great earthquake. And the earthquake got him so shook up that suddenly he has become interested in how to be saved. He's become interested in things of God. You see, there are times in which God allows and maybe even sends an earthquake our direction to wake us up to the things of God, to get us serious about spiritual things. As long as things are just moving along, nothing's really shaking in our life, sometimes people just, well, I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to be in the Bible. But when the earthquakes begin to hit, some people, like this jailer, begins to become aware of his need to be right with God. My wife has an aunt that's approximately my wife's age. And some years ago, my wife's aunt was involved in a very serious automobile accident. Her young child sitting in the back seat, in a car seat, was killed instantly. And my wife's aunt was very seriously hurt. Now, while other people in her family, I'm speaking my wife's aunt's family, still are very antagonistic and not interested in the things of God, my wife's aunt, through that earthquake that hit her life, that shook her to her very soul, came to faith in Jesus Christ and was changed. In the Old Testament, we read about a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Boy, he had it made. He had all the riches he ever wanted. He was the ruler of an empire. Whatever he said went. And the Bible tells us about how he became insane for quite some time. And his fingernails grew real long, and his hair became all long and matted, and he was out eating some grass. The guy was crazy. He was insane. It was an earthquake that hit his life. At the end of that earthquake that hit his life, in which he lost his mind for a while, he began to realize that the true God was the God of Daniel, one of the slaves that lived in his country. And he came to believe in the existence, at least, of the true God, and there was no other God but the God of the Bible. Or Joseph's brothers, that we spent some time studying the life of Joseph, had this huge earthquake that came into their life in which there was a famine and they ran out of food and they had to go to Egypt. And they found themselves bowing down to this individual in Egypt who was, they didn't know it, but it was their own brother. And an earthquake caused them to bow down and to plead. And you know what? Sometimes God brings or allows earthquakes in our life to get us to bow down to him and to realize how weak we are, how insufficient we are, how little we are, and how we need to be right with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so here is this man in this prison. He's the jailer, and he is responsible for keeping Paul and Silas locked up. And yet, when this earthquake hits, suddenly he becomes aware of his need. What must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas tell him, here's how you're saved. In fact, your whole family can get saved this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. Trust Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Trust the Savior. Salvation is not through church membership or baptism or being a member of a lodge. It's not by being good. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this man who was a sinner turns from his sin and trusts Christ that night. Paul and Silas are taken to this man's home and introduced to his family, and they tell them how to be saved. And that entire family comes to Christ that night. And the Bible tells us how that this jailer, who perhaps had beaten Paul and Silas, now is washing the wounds on their body and giving them something to eat and taking care of them in the middle of the night. A changed man because he trusted Christ. But also because God allowed an earthquake in his life, something that really stirred him up, that shook him up, to get him to the realization, you're not as big as you think you are. Number three today, let's look at some prophetic earthquakes in the future. And we're going to reach out there in the middle of the tribulation period or in the tribulation period to come. Revelation chapter 6, clear at the end of the Bible there, chapter 6 of the last book in the Bible. Let's look at the big ones. We hear about, wonder when the big one's going to happen in California. The big one they talk about. Well, let's read about some big earthquakes here. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened, verse 12 says, the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The color of the moon is changed from earth's perspective. The stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, which she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Here we read about an earthquake that takes place in the tribulation period in the future. The Bible says it shakes the earth. It moves the mountains and the islands. It's my understanding that Japan moved about 8 feet. And people are leaving their cities here in Revelation chapter 6 to find shelter in caves because the cities offer them no shelter from these earthquakes that are happening. And as they run to the mountains, instead of praying to God, instead of saying, God, we repent of our sins, okay, we're ready to get right, they're praying to the mountains, fall on us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And then there's a question at the end of verse 17. The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, if God were to pour out his wrath upon this wayward planet, if the day of grace were to be taken away, and God were to do what he's going to do in the tribulation period, who could stand? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, and to wait for a son from heaven, even Jesus. Wait for a son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know who can be delivered from the wrath to come? Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, those who trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and we are anticipating his return to deliver us from that wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says, God has not appointed us to wrath, the Christians, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But as great as this earthquake is in Revelation chapter 6, it's not the greatest earthquake. It's not the big one. The big one's found over in Revelation 16, if you'd look there with me. Revelation 16. Verse 18. Revelation 16, verse 18. 16:18 says, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. This is the big one. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give her unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, the mountains were not found. There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The largest earthquake ever, accompanied by a hailstorm of huge proportions. And yet when I read about this great earthquake in which the cities of various nations fall, islands are moved, mountains collapse, do you notice what man's response is? To blaspheme God, to curse God. During this age of grace, when God is merciful to us, and the grace of God, the love of God, the goodness of God should lead us to repentance, says the book of Romans. Does most of the world embrace God? Are most of the people in the world saved today? The answer is no. And during the tribulation period, when God pours out his wrath upon this planet, do people run to God and say, okay, we're ready, God? Most of the world will still be rebellious. Though there'll be a great revival in the future in that period, these earthquakes that the Lord sends as a form of judgment do not bring most people to him. Would you find the book of Haggai in the Old Testament? It's one of the minor prophets. We're looking at just a few of those prophetic earthquakes in the future. We will find it, right? Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Verse 6. Haggai 2:6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4 tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all of his glory, in his revelation with his holy angels with him, that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and there'll be this earthquake that splits the Mount of Olives in half, splits it. And God will once again, by means of earthquakes, point to his Son, shake the earth and the heavens. And Christ will defeat his enemies and set up his kingdom here upon this earth. And that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, will be answered. Let's look at one final passage. It's found in Psalm 46. What to do in a world of earthquakes? Psalm 46. The 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. When the big ones come in our life, even when the earth moves underneath us, the mountains might be cast in the sea, a tsunami comes our direction, whether it be a real wind of real water, H2O, or whether it be a tsunami of all kinds of difficulties and problems, our hope is beyond this earth, and even this life. Our hope is beyond this planet, which is wearing out and shifting and shaking. Our hope is in the unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable God and his word. Our hope is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 2 says, in the middle of this shaking world, if the mountains were taken and thrown in the sea and the water just came everywhere, therefore we will not fear. Now, when you listen to the news, or you watch the news, or you read the newspaper, there's a lot of stuff out there that can really make you afraid. But God says in this passage that He is our refuge. He's our strength. And He is present right now in this place, in the midst of our trouble, to help us and to strengthen us to get through whatever we're going through. As we trust Him in faith, as we rush to Him in prayer, as we rely upon His Word, the Scriptures, as we yield to His Holy Spirit, He will be our strength in life and in death. And He's present right now to help you. Let's stand, if you would, with me. And let's sing a song.